Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
Horns up, metalheads. Welcome to episode 4 of the Metal Lunch Break for Radioactive Metal. The whole point of this is to take a little time out of your Wednesday. 30 minutes or less is our goal here. Let you know what's coming up on the next show, which is a feature with Mac Sabbath. On the first lunch break, if you recall, I talked about Mac Sabbath and other mashup kind of bands. And I finally got a chance to sit down and talk to Mike Odd of Mac Sabbath. And that is going to air tomorrow night. 9 p.m. Eastern on PureRockRadio.net. All right, with me right now, I have Mr. Jay Ricochet, an upcoming country star. Now, you might be thinking like, whoa, I thought this was Radioactive Metal, not Radioactive Country. Well, Jay is a metalhead from long, long ago, and that's kind of why he's here. We're going to talk about, you know, as metalheads, we do enjoy other things. We do other genres, and I kind of want to talk about that transition here with Jay. So, Jay, man, how's it going?
All right, man. How about you?
Dude, fucking rocking tonight. And I got to tell you again, your new single, Like Hank New Whiskey, is just fucking awesome. Like I love that song, man.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot of traction on radio stations, both terrestrial and the internet. It's being played. I just got an email the other day that it's being played in the UK.
Oh, so dude, that's great.
So it's taken off really good, and I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah, man, dude, it's just a fucking great song. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But so the first thing up on the middle lunch break is a little bit of news. So, Jay, you got any news items you want to talk about?
Not really, man. Just great new albums that came out that I think people should check out and listen to if they're into the heavier side of stuff and they're into classic and outlaw country, man. You got some new stuff from Cody Jinks that was just released and some new stuff from Whitey Morgan that was just released. So check those two artists out, man. They're really killer, and they're out there tearing it up.
Hey, so speaking of like heavy artists that do country or country artists that do heavy, have you heard Hank 3's Cattle Calling record?
That one, no, I have not heard.
Dude, I've heard
everything he's done, but that one I have not heard.
All right, so I got a chance to interview him about that record. And so if you haven't talked to Hank 3, just nicest fucking guy in the world, dude. Like, he's just so cool. So such a great guy to talk to. But what I loved about that, and this ties into kind of something we were talking about off air, when you're talking about, you know, like thinking back to how your dad influenced your musical tastes, he used to go to cattle auctions with his grandfather. And so the Cattle Calling record is he goes out and gets these great auctioneers and puts like grindcore beats behind it, you know, because I mean, you know how fast an auctioneer can talk, right? Like in just a mile a minute. So he's got this just sick grindcore beats behind these auctioneers. And it's like the first listen, I'm like, what the hell just happened here? And I'm like, this is cool. Like, it's really, really cool.
Yeah. He's got such a creative mind behind him. A lot of his stuff, people have, traditional country fans have kind of frowned upon, but the stuff he's put into, like the Devil Within and songs like that from Straight to Hell and Damn Right Rebel Proud, the stuff he's put into his style of country, you know, is just completely above and beyond what I think anybody was ready for at the time that it was released. He's so far ahead.
I completely agree with that. All right, so headlines. So the California wildfires are making headlines right now, right? And while that's going on, Dave Grohl, who was the drummer for Nirvana, currently Foo Fighters fame, and I think he's made a big name for himself with the Foo Fighters. I've never been a Nirvana guy, and that could be its own podcast. But I love Dave Grohl. So what he's doing right now is he is actually out there showing up at different fire stations and cooking for the firemen. He's bringing barbecue to the firefighters that are fighting the wildfires. And I think that is just 100% amazing. You know, he's just killing me.
What he shows, and I think he's one of those guys that never really let fame get to him. He, the way he performs on stage and interacts with his crowds. Have you seen any of the videos online of him pulling those little kids up on stage to play guitar?
Everybody keeps talking about him, but no, I haven't watched one yet.
Yeah, he is so cool and so, you know, so humble and down to earth about everything. It doesn't surprise me that he'd be doing stuff like this. You know, he's seems to be a great dude.
Yeah, man. Like you look at Dave Grohl, and I mean, I don't know if you saw the Lemmy documentary, but him and Lemmy and just the stuff they were talking about there and the interactions, I'm like, what a great example of just how to be a good human, you know?
Yeah. Did you ever hear the Probot album that he did?
Dude, I was literally just listening to this the past week. Holy shit, is that some good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's talking about bringing in different styles and different things that influence you. That album is just fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because every vocalist just brings it. He writes the style for the vocalist. The Lemmy track's probably one of my favorites. And then I think, was it King Diamond closes to the record?
Yeah.
Yeah, just badass tracks, man. Badass tracks. All right. And then the other news item is this just happened. So this is when this podcast drops on Wednesday, the 14th, right? Because today's the 13th. So Monday, Stan Lee passed away.
Yeah, that hit my family pretty hard. Growing up as a kid, man, I was like a huge Spider-Man fan. My mom said I used to act like I was climbing the walls. into my Spider-Man underoos and my Spider-Man winter face mask that she bought me. You know, he was always a big influence on me, and my daughter right now is going to be a senior at St. Cloud University, and she wants to be an art major, and he was the influence for her to go to art school.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so she was pretty bummed out about it too. So he's, you know, his influence and the things he did, I don't think will ever be seen again.
No, talk about an impact. How many people get to live to see the impact they have on society? And it's not over. That's the crazy part. I mean,
yeah.
Just think about what he started, what he's gotten to do, and just, I mean, what's a Marvel movie going to be without a Stan Lee cameo? You know?
Yeah, I want to see if they make another Deadpool and see how they throw something in there comedically for it. You know?
Oh, I could totally.
I think that would be pretty fun.
So have you seen both Deadpool movies?
Yeah, I did. I saw the first one with my son. I think he was 13 at the time and didn't realize it was going to be as risque as it was. And I'm sitting here with my 13-year-old son sitting next to me with all those bedroom scenes. And I'm like, oh, father of the year right here.
Dude, so especially this ties in since we're doing our country kind of episode today. There is nothing funnier to me in the world than the opening of Deadpool 2 with fucking Dolly Parton's 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Like, yes, when he says, hit it, Dolly, and he just starts killing people to 9 to 5, like, I am crying in the theater. And this is like the opening scene.
You know, I really enjoy his portrayal of Deadpool compared to his portrayal of Green Lantern. He really redeemed himself.
Well, and if you've seen the movie, you saw the ending.
Yeah.
Oh my, yeah. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but just, oh my goodness, dude. Yeah, that Green Lantern movie, like, I've watched it 3 or 4 times. I still don't understand what the plot is. It's terrible. But yeah, Deadpool, man. Deadpool 1 and 2 are fucking amazing. And just, man, Stan Lee. So rest in peace, Stan Lee. Thank you for everything that you have done for us. You know, it's been quite a ride. Quite a good time there.
Yeah, I had did a little thing on the air for my radio show last night. I played the Spider-Man theme song from the 70s behind it and just did a little eulogy for him and everything else and thanked him and said, Excelsior, Mr. Lee, you know, you will be missed. And he's definitely going to be missed.
Yeah, exactly. Excelsior. Now, you mentioned underoos. So I also had Spider-Man underoos and the Spider-Man like snow mask, right? I think everybody in Western Pennsylvania had that one. Have you seen the underwear company Stance that's doing what I like to consider adult underoos?
No, I haven't seen those, but I've seen the ones where you can get your face put on them.
That's a little much for me, I think. I mean, even for me. But
I'll send you some, man.
with your face on them?
A big beard right in the crotch right there for you.
Dude, I'll wear them. I'll post myself wearing them. So Stance, and these were short-lived, but they did like Iron Maiden, Slayer, and I feel like there's one other set of like boxer briefs. So I have Iron Maiden's Live After Death cover on boxer briefs.
That's awesome.
Dude, yeah, I love it.
I'm surprised Kiss didn't have them. I thought that would be something that Gene would have jumped right on.
You know, I'm really surprised that you said it. I mean, I do have my Kiss socks. I have my Kiss socks. The four faces, you know. Oh, speaking of Kiss, I am right now in my Kiss Army t-shirt. I've enlisted in the Kiss Army officially. Since this is the final tour coming up, I want to make sure I get all the pre-sale access.
Do you really believe it's the final tour?
I do. I do. Here's my theory. I think that this is going to be the final tour. It's going to last a minimum of 2 years, probably four. I think it's going to go on for 4 years. So they have played every single town and city that they can. And then 2 years off, you're not going to hear much. And then what we're going to get is going to be Kiss 2.0. They're going to keep the characters going, but they're going to get the best musicians that can keep it going and keep the Kiss legacy going on. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, if that happens, man, that to me is just, that would be asinine, but you know.
But think about it. It could be like a Broadway show. And you know, and if you think about, you know, like, I mean, like somebody like me or like anybody else who grew up with Kiss, we can write in the style of Kiss because you've listened to it so much. So you get somebody who can write in the style of Kiss. Because, I mean, sometimes Kiss can't even write in the style of Kiss anymore, right? So you get somebody who's really grown up with it, they write it, they can continue the legacy, and it could be something cool.
Well, that to me is the same as Adam Lambert singing singing Queen songs. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm totally over these bands going out there and getting other people to sing and perform and other players to perform the music that was such iconic inspiration for a whole generation, and just you know, putting it out there, to me it's counterfeit.
I like this. I can have you back. We should do an in-depth topic on this one, because I go back and forth. I get torn, because if you think about it, I mean, that's how some people could have felt about Iron Maiden, because the first two records weren't with Dickinson, you know. Absolutely. or like AC/DC. I mean, how many albums did AC/DC have before they got Brian Johnson? You know?
Yeah, see, I got into an argument at a bar with somebody who gave those same examples when I was just belligerent and just calling out Adam Lambert for singing Freddie Mercury songs. And they're like, well, it's the same thing with AC/DC and Iron Maiden, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what? That's different. That's completely different. In my mind, it was. But, you know, hey, I was drunk at the time, so what the hell did I know?
You know who I would have liked to have seen rather than Adam Lambert? This is terrible. I don't know the guy's name, but the guy in the band FUN.
Oh, I don't know.
Like, because the one song they have, Carry On, it's like, when you're lost and alone, or you're sinking like a stone, carry on. Like, the way he approaches those notes, like, when I heard that, I'm like, he should be doing the Freddie Mercury stuff. Because he's got the voice. Like, I think he's got the chops for it.
Yeah. I have not heard that one. I couldn't comment on that.
Well,
let me ask you this real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you hear Metallica is going to do an album with Lady Gaga?
For real? Because I know they performed the Super Bowl thing.
Yeah, I saw some article that I didn't even want to fucking read it. It was that they were gonna record with Lady Gaga, and I was like, whatever. They're turning into the next Gene Simmons. They just want to make fucking money.
Well, it can't be worse than Lulu, right? It couldn't be worse than Lulu.
Yeah.
Lulu fucking sucked. Like, that's horrible. I remember thinking, I'm like, okay, I love Lou Reed. I love Metallica. What's going to happen? Not what I hoped for.
Anywhere?
All right, so
that was
since
the best thing since sliced bread. But anyway, all right.
Sorry about that. So since we're on the Metallica topic here, have you been listening to any of the remaster reissued stuff they're doing? Like, because Justice just came out with like all the demos and all that sort of stuff.
No, I being a lifelong Metallica fan, I've totally just stopped listening to them. Every once in a while, I'll watch a live video or something that'll come across my news feed and stuff. But I don't know, man. I went and saw them here when it came to Minneapolis about 4 years ago or so, and then everything just seemed so overproduced that it wasn't even close to being them anymore. So I just kind of stopped following them. I didn't want to lose the memory of us going to see them, you know, open for Guns N' Roses, or, you know, that was, even that was a little produced, but it was still the memories that I didn't want to tarnish.
Oh yeah. So let me ask you this. What's your Metallica album? Like, I honestly can't remember. Like what's your favorite?
Kill 'Em All.
Okay. Trust me when I tell you then that you need to find, like, you can find them like on iTunes Music, possibly even Spotify now, but find the deluxe remastered set they're doing. Listen to the fucking demos, dude. And listen to all of them. Like, I was listening to stuff on Justice. Like I like Justice, but there are times where I'm like, I'm not sure. Dude, listen to the demos and the riff tapes and the writing. Holy shit.
And then the bass up.
Well, so it's funny that you say that. There's like one particular riff tape where you can actually hear the bass until they all start playing. And I finally get it. If that is the bass tone that Jason was trying to record that album with, no wonder we can't hear the fucking bass there. And no wonder it got mixed out because it was so trebly. Like, cause you remember how like trebly my bass sound was for a while, right? It was worse than mine.
So it wasn't the Flotsam Jetsam sound. It was actual, I mean, just something different.
So the opening of Crash Course in Brain Surgery, that do 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 do, you know, like how just like wet and present that is.
Yeah.
Even more high end, even less low end is what I was hearing on these tapes. And so if that's what he was going for, you know, then I can see where he's totally just fighting with the guitars for that sonic frequency.
Wow.
So yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
Oh, dude, it's awesome. I think you're gonna love it. All right, so we got about 14 minutes left here. Let's get into the topic that I brought you on for. So Jay here, Jay used to be in some metal bands with me back in the day, you know, and he has now been making what I like to call a very successful transition into being a country artist. So Jay, like, how this transition come about, man?
Well, I was in a band. God, how long has it been now? It's been almost 9 years. I was in a metal band called Shovelhead, and I was just not feeling it anymore. I mean, we were writing songs, and they were just coming out, and I wasn't feeling any creativity anymore. It was just like I was just going through the motions to sing and to write. So I quit and started going back to, like I was telling you earlier, I just go back to I looked back at the roots of where I came from and what actually inspired me. And just went back to like listening to music with my dad in his truck, you know, all the old outlaw country and all the old outlaw artists, and listening to the Sunday night oldies with my mom on the radio, and trying to go back and find that the roots of where music came from. And I also started working as a country DJ at a radio station here in town, and started listening to some of the stuff that's out there now, and I got pissed off at how country music's been raped and tortured to hell and back again. And I said, you know what, fuck this. I'm going to go back. I'm going to try this and see how it works. And it works. And people have really latched on to the whole classic revival of country music and things like that. So it was such a whirlwind. It happened so fast, you know, but it feels right. You know, it's like a nice, good pair of underwear. You just want to put it on. It feels so right.
Back to the underoos, right? Back to the underoos.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing, man. Like, I remember when I saw like the first pictures that you were posting for promos and stuff as you know, under your Jay Ricochet Instagram. And I saw it. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, that's it. That's the look. Like, cause I mean, you know, and I hope you don't mind me mentioning these things, but I mean, over the years, you know, we've both gone through different looks, you know, especially in the bands. Yeah. And, the last one that I recall was like the eyeliner and the black, nail polish. And, you know, like it was kind of like a twisted looking prodigy, and he already looked twisted.
You also need to remember the hairspray and the long hair. Yeah.
Well, then I found, dude, I found a picture in my basement with you, me, Sean, and Draws. And when I had the mohawk, I'm looking at it going, what the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah. Believe me, I do that all the time now.
I know, it was awful, right? But like, so like, you know, and I mean, I've seen you try all these different things. I've tried all these different things. I see this picture and I'm like, shit, that's it. Like you're legit. Like I looked at him, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's him. He's found what he's been searching for years. Like that's well, immediately what I thought of.
It all kind of fell into place with that. I mean, when I retired from the military, I said I was never going to shave or cut my hair again. Cause you know, 20 plus years of doing it. And it all just kind of fell in the right place at the right time. You know, you just never know why things happen the way they happen. They just did. And I feel the most comfortable now than I've felt in, and I've known you since high school, you know, and before.
Yeah.
I just feel more comfortable now than I've ever felt in my entire life.
You know, and it shows, and it really comes through in the music, man. Like, so the lead single, like Hank New Whiskey, and I went back and I listened to a couple of the other things, and I can't remember the titles or escape me, but those are good too. And just when I sat down, I heard it, I listened to it on Apple Music, and I'm like, damn. Because, like, I've always loved your voice. You know, obviously, we've been in bands together. I've always loved your voice. You've got a great voice. And I feel like, and I've heard so many of your other projects, Shovelhead, you know, when you mentioned, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember Shovelhead. Like, I listened to that stuff. I liked it. And there's the one band, and I can't remember who they were that you were with here, that you know, I went to the studio with you guys that time, and that was some good stuff.
Yeah.
But like listening to this, I'm like, no, like this is good. Like you really hear like all the, just the great qualities in your voice. And like you said, like you're relaxed. Your singing is just all coming out, man.
Yeah, that's what I love about it. One of the main things I love about country is that it's all about the song and the story of the song. You're not trying to fill it with 20 million different things with solos and sounds, and I mean, you just get out there, play it, sing it, and if it's true, the listener will get it. If you're just putting your heart into it, that people will, you know, they will get it. And it, so far, it's I must, you know, I'm doing something right. Thank God, you know, that he's given me the ability to do it. But it I'm very excited to see where this is going to take me, and hopefully, it'll take me pretty far because I've been busting my ass on this, and I'll keep doing it. I ain't going to stop.
Now, I saw you play some shows with Wheeler Walker Jr. or like at the same time. How'd those come about?
Well, I played a bunch of shows at different venues throughout the state. And like some of the guys that are part owner of the Iron Horse Saloon in Sturgis and down in Florida asked me to come play during Sturgis at the Iron Horse Saloon. I did four shows out there.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
Wheeler Walker was the headliner for a couple of the nights, and then this other gentleman came in. They just got off tour with Matt Stillwell, just got off tour with ZZ Top. And here I am talking to these guys, and I'm going, damn. He was showing me videos of them doing beer bongs with ZZ Top and shit, and I was just like, yeah, I got to get going. I got to be doing a little bit more here. And but it was a great experience. Hopefully I can get back out there this summer and play the main stage because I played indoors out there. But it was an amazing experience.
That's awesome, man. Absolutely awesome. So how do you think like your metal background has kind of helped with what you're doing now? Because I still see like I look at you. I see the country look, but especially knowing you the way that I do, like I'm like, he's still fucking metal to his core.
I look back at my influences of metal, you know, Dave Menichetti, Brett Michaels, you know, from the times that we grew up. Shoot, who else? David Coverdale.
Yeah.
A lot of those melodic sounds of their voice and how they put it forward and how they presented the songs, I try to add that. I still add that a lot into my country songs. I mean, it's just the blues aspect of it is what I really try to put forward into my music, because I think the blues is the origin of all music. If you don't know the blues and you don't learn from those pioneers, you're just wasting your time. Because I, without the blues, I don't think we'd have half the music out there that we have right now.
I completely agree.
I just take my influences from not so much the heavy screaming stuff, but the early hair metal days, you know, for lack of a better way of saying it. I mean, you throw on a Y&T album and listen to Dave Menichetti sing, and holy shit, that dude could just, he could sell a song like, he could sell ketchup popsicles to an Eskimo in white gloves. I mean, he the way he sang.
Yeah,
well, so that's just kind of what I bring into what I do.
Hey, yo, and when you mention those influences, they had very powerful voices. And think about it, like you've got the power. You didn't have to go quick. It wasn't about being fast. Like you could hold a note. You could put some soul into that note, man. That's definitely the difference.
Yeah, I've always latched on to, you know, and whether it be just for me being a front man, I don't know. I latched on to those bands that had powerful front men. And that's like, even with Iron Maiden and Bruce putting his, he said one thing one time I'll always remember. He said, when you're on stage, yell as loud as you can when you talk, because you want those people on the last row of the, whether you're playing a stadium or a bar, you want them to hear you and feel like they're a part of it. So you always project your voice, always show emotion and things like that. And I've always latched onto that because I thought he hit the nail right on the head with it. Make them feel important for being there and always show the same respect throughout the crowd. So I don't know. I've always just latched onto that.
Man, that's fucking killer. You know, and one last thing here, because we're going to wrap up. For the lunch break, but something I just want to point out, like have you read Dee Snider's book, like Shut Up and Give Me the Mic?
No, I don't read books. The last book I read was The Outsiders.
All right, so I highly recommend this, or at least watch the We Are Twisted Fucking Sister documentary, because it's almost the same thing, and I think Dee might make the same point in it. But one of the things that stuck out to me, and I think you've always represented very well, is, you know, when people ask him, like, you know, what do you think of rock and roll today? He's like, not enough middle finger. And they're like, what do you mean? He's like, well, he's like, you got to be defiant. You got to be, you know, sticking it to the man or whatever. He's like, yeah, give him the middle finger. He's like, that's what it needs. And when I listen to these songs that you're putting out now, you know, I just, fuck, man, I hear the middle finger. You know, even as sweet and tender as the ballads are, the middle finger's right there. And that's what I love. And I think that's your metal roots, man.
Yeah, wait till what I'll do is I'll send you some of the stuff I've been writing lyrically wise. And it's all about just putting out things that, you know, other people are feeling, other people are experiencing in their lives, and letting them know that they're not the only ones feeling that way. I mean, Elvis did it back from the very beginning up until now. I mean, the true artists are doing it. And I'm trying to stay true to that. And hopefully I'll do it right and make them proud.
Well, thanks, man. We're going to end it there. We'll call the lunch break. Jay, thanks for being here. Listeners, tune in tomorrow night live, 9 p.m. Eastern, purerockradio.net to hear our interview with Max Sabbath. And then we'll see you next week on the lunch break.